Try again. Please keep that passage open in front of you. So Luke chapter 18. And we're going to pray. We're going to ask God for his help as we look at his word together. So let's pray. Our Father, please teach us this morning. Help us to understand your word. Speak to us, Father, as we read it, as we study it, as we learn from it. And shape and change us, we pray. Amen. Well, you have in the passage that was just read an incident where a ruler comes to Jesus. We will deal with both passages, the bit about the children and the bit about the ruler. But you do have this ruler who comes to Jesus saying, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, that's a big question, isn't it? That is, in a sense, the big question. If eternal life is on offer, if eternal life is for grabs, how do I get it? What have I got to do? What have I got to do to have it? What's the way in? Jesus also talks about, in both passages, both incidents, he talks about the kingdom of God. And the question is, how do you get the kingdom of God? How do you get in? If you've ever been to Hampton Court Palace, maybe you've done the maze. Have you done the maze there? Great fun. I'm going to give you a spoiler. Maybe you already know this, how to get to the middle of the maze. If you don't want to know, block your ears, but only for a few seconds, not for 20 minutes. How do you get to the middle of the maze? Not just by sneaking in through the little gate. Don't just do that. But, I mean, you can. No, you can't do that. You go in through the entrance of the maze, put your hand on the right-hand side of the maze, and just follow it. Keep your hand on the right-hand side. You will go down one or two little dead ends, so that's fine. Just keep your hand on the right and follow it round, and you'll get to the middle of the maze. And you get there quite quickly. Did you know that? Anyone knew that? Yeah, a few people knew that. There you go. So hand on the right-hand side. That's how you get into the maze, into the middle of the maze. How do you get into the kingdom of God? Is it hard? Is it difficult? Is it easy? Interestingly, what we'll see in these passages, one passage, it shows us that actually getting into the kingdom of God, getting eternal life, is incredibly simple. And then the other passage shows us, in some ways, it's very, very hard. It's very simple, and yet it's very hard. Let's see what the passage has to say. You see, in the first bit with the children, so verses, have a look at the verses. You see, the NIV is splitted into two bits anyway. So you've got the bit which is headed, the little children and Jesus. That section is saying how to get in. How do you get in? And then the bit with the rich ruler, that shows you how not to get in. So how to get in, how not to get in. First, how do you get in? How to get in? Receive it like a little child. So people are bringing little children to Jesus. Verse 15, people were bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. So you've got people bringing little children, and the word there really is for little children. It's really little ones, probably having to be brought, maybe being brought, you know, babies in arms. I mean, there's no age limit there, so it's probably a whole range of children of different ages, but it included really little ones. And they were bringing them to Jesus for him to touch them, to bless their children. And the disciples are thinking, don't bring them to Jesus. He's hassled. He's probably thinking he's too busy for them. They're beneath him. And Jesus says, Jesus rebukes the disciples and says, no, let them come to me, because of such is the kingdom of God. And in fact, Jesus doesn't just say, let them come to me. He even says to the disciples, you've got to become like them. There's something about these children that you need to emulate. You've got to be like little children. Now, in what way? Jesus isn't saying that you've got to be childish. He's not saying in coming to God you've got to be childish. But he is saying you've got to be childlike. But in what way? Verse 17 tells us. It says, I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Do you see, Jesus is focusing on the way children receive things. You've got to receive like a little child. You see, Jesus is pointing to children and he is saying, look, they are receiving experts. They are gift-receiving experts. And they are, aren't they? Little children are brilliant at receiving. I mean, they can't do anything else. Little children can't do anything else, can they? They just have to receive. I mean, little babies, they're so poorly able to look after themselves. They can't do anything. Can't get food for themselves, clothes for themselves. They can't do anything. They just have to receive. And Jesus is saying, look, they are gift-receiving experts. You just wait a few weeks' time, lots of weeks' time, sorry, don't want to frighten you, Christmas is coming. Give little children a present, what do? They just receive them. They're great at it, aren't they? They're so good at it, they'll go from one to another to another. They have no shame about it. When grandparents come and visit, what do they say? Have you got something for me? You know, we don't do that with other people, do they? You have someone round? You got something for me? We don't do that. Children do, though, because they're so good at receiving gifts. And God is saying, just as they receive gifts, so you need to receive the kingdom. Receive it. It is a gift. Whereas adults are terrible at receiving gifts, aren't we? Someone gives you a generous gift, what do you say? Oh, you shouldn't have done. Oh, I feel bad now. Oh, I didn't have something for you. Oh, I've got to think of something to give you now. You've invited me around, I've got to invite you around. Oh, we're terrible at receiving gifts. We're not like children. We're like adults, because we are. But Jesus is saying, receive the kingdom like a child. It is a gift. And indeed, it can only be a gift. Remember what Melissa was talking about earlier on? She was saying how sin deserves death. But our problem is we've all sinned. We've all rebelled against God. We've all rejected God. And therefore, we all deserve death. And so none of us deserve eternal life. None of us deserve the kingdom of God. The only way to get it is if God gives it to us. And the way he gives it to us is by sending his son to die for us. We're remembering today, aren't we? Those who've died in conflict. Those who've died fighting for their countries. And maybe you're remembering others who've died as well. The Bible tells us the greatest gift, the greatest sacrifice anyone could give is to give their life for someone. God gave his son to die so that you and I could have the gift of eternal life. That's why Jesus died on the cross, that you and I could receive that gift. But it is a gift. It is an act of grace, is what the Bible says. In other words, it is God offering it to us and saying, here it is. And all you need to do is receive it like a child. It is simple. And then there's the rich ruler. Sorry, that was just showing children do receive gifts. How not to get in. You see, the rich ruler shows us that in some ways it's very hard to receive this gift. What's the barrier for this man? Let's have a look at it. Verse 18 says, a certain ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now that's a good start to a conversation, isn't it? If I had that kind of conversation, if I was having my hair cut and the barber says to me, how do I get eternal life? That's a good start to a conversation, isn't it? That's someone who's interested, who's speaking. It seems like they're on the right track. Interesting how Jesus replies. Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one's good except God alone. You see, what Jesus is saying there is, okay, you've called me good. You think I'm good. What's your standard? What's your standard of goodness? Is it just your standard? Or are you going by God's standard? And just to ram this home, then Jesus goes to God's standard. He goes to the commandments. And he says, verse 20, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honour your father and mother. Verse 21, all these I've kept since I was a boy, he said. Ah, you see, he's saying, look, you're going by God's standard and I'm doing all right by God's standard. I've not done anything really bad, I've not stolen, I've not murdered anyone, I've not committed adultery, I've not done any of these things. I think I'm doing all right, Jesus. So come on, what's the secret? Do I put my hand on the right-hand side to get into the kingdom of God? What, is there anything else I've got to do? Now, do you notice which commandments Jesus leaves out? Because he doesn't give all the Ten Commandments, does he? He only gives a few. You see, Jesus misses out in this little list all the commandments that are to do with your relationship with God. He puts in all the ones that he puts in ones to do with this man's relationships with other people, but he leaves out all the ones to do with God. After all, the first commandment is, "You shall have no other gods before me." But he doesn't mention that one, not yet. Second commandment is not having any idols. In other words, not replacing God with something else. And he doesn't mention that one either. Not yet. So how does Jesus go on? Verse 22, he says, when Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Now, Jesus doesn't just say, give up your wealth. He does. He does say, give up your wealth, but he doesn't just say that. If you just focus on that, you've missed half of what he's saying there. He says, give up your wealth and follow me. In other words, don't just give up your wealth. Take your wealth, get rid of that, and put me in the centre, Jesus is saying. Follow me. You see, his real problem was that he was breaking God's commandments by having another God, his wealth. His wealth had become his God. His wealth had become more important to him than God. Ah, yeah, he would have gone along to the synagogue, he would have gone along to the temple, he'd have been very religious. Clearly he was a very good person, because he never did any of these other bad things. But the point was, something else had taken God's place in his life. And so Jesus tells him to give away his wealth, but he can't do it. And how does he go away? Interesting, this struck me this last week. He goes away sad. He doesn't go away going, oh, well, forget Jesus. Forget about him, I've got my wealth. I'm happy with my wealth. He goes away sad. And I presume he goes away sad because he knows that Jesus is onto something here. He knows that actually he should give up his wealth. He should let go of it in order to grab onto God. He realizes what Jesus is doing here. He's saying, you've got money more important than me, but he doesn't want to give it up. He wants to hold on to his wealth, and the idea of giving up his wealth is just so big for him that he can't do it. And so he is sad because he wants God, he wants eternal life, but he won't give up his treasure. And in turn, Jesus is sad at how he reacts. And Jesus responds, verse 24. How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, that's a pretty clear illustration. Some people have mangled it over the years a bit. You may have heard some people say, oh, maybe there was a gate in Jerusalem called the eye of a needle, because it was so small, and the camels coming along to that gate had to sort of get rid of all their bags and sort of have to crawl in, if you can imagine a crawling camel, through this gate, and then they could put all the bags back on it. Scholars will say that's most likely that's a load of nonsense. It really is. Jesus is saying, take a needle, the eye of a needle, try and get a camel through it. The idea is, that's impossible. Yes, children will at that point say, yes, if you liquidize the camel, then it's possible. But that's not Jesus' point. His point is, it is impossible. Now get the strength of what Jesus is saying. He's saying for rich people to enter the kingdom of God, it is like trying to get a camel through the eye of a needle. It is impossible. It is impossible. Why? Why is it impossible? He said to children, you can receive the kingdom, receive it like a child, you've got it. He's saying to rich people, it's impossible for you to enter. Why? Because wealth is a deceptively good God substitute. Wealth is a deceptively good God substitute. What does it give you? What does your wealth give you? What does your money give you? Security. If you've got this much in the bank, then you feel secure. That's why some people won't pay for some things that they really need in their lives, because they want to keep that much in the bank account. Because if they've got that much, they're secure. They know they're safe. Go down below that level, and the panic starts to set in. Money gives security. Money provides for you, doesn't it? It provides food, clothes, essentials, housing, provides for you. It provides fun. I mean, if you have loads of money, you can have fun. You can do all kinds of things. It provides status. You can get particular
type of car, maybe, or you can buy particular clothes, or have particular holidays, or you can have whatever. It can buy you status, as well as fun and all the other things. And if you think, well, it's not that big deal for me, imagine the panic you would have if one morning you opened up a letter from the bank and it said you have nothing. All your savings have gone. All of your money is gone. Can you imagine the panic that you would have? You see, wealth is a deceptively good God substitute. And if we're serving money, if we're worshipping money and saying that is what gives me what I really need, then we can't come humbly before God and say, God, I need you, because we don't really mean it. We might say, well, you know what, money can't get me eternal life, so God, I'll come to you for eternal life, but I'll try and hold on to money. But Luke has already told us, or Jesus has already told us in Luke, you can't serve both God and money, you just can't do it. The only way to come before God, the only way to receive the kingdom, is if we let go of wealth. And so Jesus says to this ruler, give up your money. Now, Jesus doesn't say that to everyone. He doesn't say it, for instance, to Zacchaeus a couple of passages later. He doesn't tell him to give all his money away. Zacchaeus does become very generous, but he doesn't tell Zacchaeus to give it all away. And therefore, you don't have to give all your money away. How do you feel about that? Relieved? It's a bit telling if we're really relieved, isn't it? Because maybe that shows that money has a grip on us as well. See, what we do need to do is to let go of things which take God's place. And that's true whether we're Christians or not. You see, this guy was religious, we assume. He knew his Old Testament. And he needs to give it away, gave up money. You see, some people will say to me, I've looked into Christian things, and I want to become a Christian, but I don't think it's really going to make that much difference to my life. After all, I don't do any of the really bad things. I'm not, you know, I'm not a prostitute. I'm not a, you know, I don't swindle people. I don't do this, that, or the other. Therefore, I don't think I've really got that much that needs to change. And in a way, I can see what you're saying, if that's you. I can kind of see what you're saying. There's not a huge amount. You haven't suddenly got to stop being a drug dealer. Well, what change is there? Actually, there's still an enormous change, isn't there? And that's what this man needed to see. Yes, he was being moral, he was being good, but he was still worshipping something other than God. And for anyone to become a Christian, you've got to realise you were worshipping something else. You've got to let go of that in order to receive the kingdom from God. And to receive it like a little child. And that's a massive change in life. That's saying, I'm going to go from something else being at the centre to God being at the centre. So what's stopping you from receiving the gift? Is there something else that is that it's tempting to have in place of God, that you're tempted to hold on to and say, I want that. That's what gives me real significance, purpose and meaning in my life, but I do also want God as well. Because that's the thing that we've got to say, we've got to let go of that. What is it? Is it wealth for you? Now, we are to provide for our family and for ourselves. We're not to be a burden on others. But some have so much saved up, it is more than they need, more than their children will ever need. Would you give it away? What about other things? Family. Family is a big one, isn't it? That people will be tempted to say, that is the centre of my life. That is the thing that gives me meaning. Now, Jesus doesn't say, stop loving your family. But he does say, don't have it at the centre of your life. Don't get your meaning from your family, your purpose, your significance from family. Put Jesus first, and actually you end up loving your family more. Or success, or career, whatever it may be, would you give it up? Give it all up to receive a treasure that lasts for eternity. Jim Elliot, who was a missionary who was martyred while taking the gospel to Indians, he said this, He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. In the maths of it all, you give up your wealth in this life and gain eternal life. Have you won or lost? You've won. But are you prepared to let it go? Are you prepared to let it go? How will you leave today? The man left sad from leaving Jesus. And Jesus didn't run after him. He didn't change the conditions, change the terms. And nor will he for us. How will you leave today? Sad? Or joyful? Having let go of things in order to receive the kingdom like a child. Simple, isn't it? And yet very hard. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his teaching. Thank you that he offers to us the kingdom, won by his own blood, by his own death, for us to receive empty-handed with nothing else, but just to come to you and receive it. Father, please move in our hearts that we would maybe recommit ourselves, maybe do it for the first time, to saying, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to your cross I cling. Father, please be at work in each one of us, that our hearts would delight only in Jesus.